And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, except Mr. Greenspan is, kind of fearful. He don't want to talk about a lot of stuff because he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. And he goes, no, not that. Well, we're going to talk. Well, not that.
It's the robots and the clones.
It's the clones.
The robots and the clones.
Okay, robots and clones.
That's coming.
That's coming. All right.
You're going to need that rocket.
Yeah, okay. Well, one thing real quick. Have you been watching the GOP debates?
As little as I can, but yes, I have.
I do. Anyway, as we're throwing popcorn at the screen, okay, you know, there was a good friend of ours brought a friend of his. He lived at Sun City West, which is the active community. And he brought, they always say, you say Sun City, no, Sun City West. I went, okay, you know, less something, you know, more something. So, they have a friend, John, that they brought. And he's just like, well, I'll see why you bunch of you libertarians are doing well. It's a GOP party. What do you want to check this out? So he came to the Christmas party and he came to the debate party. And he just didn't know what to think. You know, just as we're yelling, even at Rand. I mean, come on, Rand, say it, you know. So I'm wondering, from you watching the debates, having been through a lot of, I mean, I've known you've been, you're one of those, Robert's Rules of Point of Order at the convention kind of guy, okay? You run conventions, you ran, you know, Ron's very successful efforts here in Southwest and a lot of the states, and I remember you were in, you know, in Des Moines, you're involved. And I'm going, from your perspective, as you watch certainly this last debate, what was your feeling? What did you think was going on?
You want my real...
War! Yeah, go.
You really want my opinion. Okay. So,
oh, by the way, did we do a proper introduction for Jeff? Does everyone know who he is?
Yeah, I just did.
All right, well.
So, disclaimer first, lifelong Republican, paleo-conservative, which means a real conservative, the pre-FDR, pre-Great Society conservative. But anyway, I'm not quite sure who the real candidates are. So, up on stage, there's one to two actual candidates. The rest of the candidates are fundraising. And the brilliance of Trump, I think, is that he's really just making money. I mean, he's doing what he does best, right? As long as people want to do it, they'll keep paying for it. He'll keep doing it. And what he's found is the more outrageous he can be, the more money he raises. Now, here's how it works. Presidential election commissions are incorporated companies. Once you drop out of a race, you can roll your PEC, Presidential Election Committee, money into a PAC. PACs are also incorporated companies. What most of the candidates do, what all pretty much everybody you see on the screen does, is they all have PACs. And so they drop out of the race, roll their millions from their PEC committee into their PAC, and they're all on the board of directors. And so are their kids, and so are their families. And so are their friends. And out of the pack, they pay themselves salaries as directors of the board. They can pay a salary
out.
To it. Well, it doesn't run out. Then they go on book, write a book, and then they go on tours and speaking and raise more money. But basically, they pay themselves and their families salaries, directorship salaries out of the pack, and expenses for whatever, for in perpetuity, is their goal. Right. So Donald Trump's doing what he does best. And what he's found is he didn't think it'd go this far, for sure. is the more outrageous he is, the more money he raises. And so why not be even more outrageous? Raise even more money. This is a business. I mean, let's be clear.
Reports of him making money?
Well, look at the PEC reports on opensecrets.org or on the government website, whatever.
Oh, I get to see how much Trump money made.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what does that say? How much has he raised?
I haven't looked at the reports. But my point is that...
He's profitable. He hasn't spent any.
People need to understand, this is a business. Each individual guy is running two corporations, their PEC corporation and their PAC corporation. They are raising millions of dollars as a business and using their approach that you see in the debates and in the papers or whatever on TV to raise the money from which they will pay themselves and their family salaries and expenses, they hope, forever. And sometimes multi-generationally.
Yeah, grandkids.
Yeah, they're grandkids too.
Or grandkids-in-law.
They're there, to be clear, they're there to raise money. And Donald Trump is... And, you know, I have to admire the man. If people believe what he says... That's their problem. But I have to admire the man. He's making money. He's doing what he does best, making money. And that's what he's there to do.
Okay. You know, and Frank wanted a more lengthy introduction for you, more than just your role in the Ron Paul campaign. You know, who are you, Jeff? You know, you came from, you know, you're like... Don's raising your mic here a little bit.
Thank you there.
Okay. Now... You came from Pennsylvania, so, you know, from the stomping grounds over here, these guys, Don's from Pennsylvania, that's where you kind of cut your teeth, and you started this, I remember talking, so I don't know how much you want to say, but I'll say it. Jeff, coming from Utah,
I grew up here, Arizona.
Arizona.
But I went to University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, I got an economics degree, which is where I first learned a Dr. Ron Paul, because I was in these economics conferences just listening as a student and postdoc, just listening. You know, what they're saying about regional trade governance and trade treaties and free trade stuff coming up. This is back in 1994-95.
Now, I remember this.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking to myself...
This is why they wanted to break up the U.S. Yes. and these regional governments to rule
And then
us.
The trade blocks, the three big trade blocks they're talking about. So I was thinking to myself, this is exactly the opposite of what I just learned in school, what I got my degree in. It's opposite. And then I saw a kind of rebuttals written by Ron Paul as I was kind of studying. The internet was just, you know, in its nascent stage at that time. And I'm like, who is this guy? He is saying exactly what I just learned from an economics degree, and all these professors and supposedly wise people are saying the exact opposite of what free trade is and where prosperity comes from. So that's how I got involved from kind of like the economic perspective. Then I got my first job, and I was a programmer. Now, I'm not a programmer anymore. I haven't been for many years, but I got my first job as a programmer, and I started working at departments of transportation and revenue in a couple of the states, programming interfaces. And
now, what year is this that you're
this
doing?
This is 95, okay, 96
this is the
now.
Same time that here in Phoenix, in Arizona, Russell Pierce was Department of Motor Vehicles
right.
head, and it was deadbeat dad legislation.
Yeah, motor voter
national,
law.
A national database.
Right.
See, a lot of people think,
Social Security
the
number on there.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, yeah, it was for a year, your Social Security number was your driver's license number here in Arizona, and people went into freaking ape crap, man.
Well, it still is.
Yeah, you just don't
they
have
don't,
the same.
They don't expose it
right.
physically, but it's still on your file.
Yeah.
So I was programming interfaces with the federal government, and I was like, what do they need all this data for? I mean, I understand they need pieces of the data, but what do they need all this data for? So I started researching the laws, and it was Clinton back then, motor voter, like you said, in Deadbeat Dads. But what I found out is what they were really doing is Deadbeat Dads was building the kernel or the seed of what's now the Real ID employment automated employment eligibility verification system called E-Verify, right? So they were building the database of who works where and how are we going to control who
gets
to work.
Okay, now I want to inject here so that people understand. Russell Pierce was president of the Senate here and the one that did SB 1070. It was all about the immigration thing. Well, all of us, we're sitting, I'm doing the shows and we're delaying the vote and he's freaking out and calling me domestic terrorist and all this kind of stuff because we knew
but
he wanted...
It was a Clinton-era program, to be clear. He was promoting and pushing the Clinton...
Database.
Voice era database.
And right after
both
this got
motor
done,
voter and the
it went,
verified.
That database went straight to Janet Napolitano. It was Heather
in Homeland Security. That's right.
Yep. And she was governor here. All this. Yep. So the R's and D's, anybody that's paying attention, like Jeff has been, it's all the same people doing the same thing. I rule you.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Memory of the winter of 07 and 08, you know, when we were in New Hampshire during the Ron Paul campaign, the first one, Lovolution. And I always have fond memories of that. It was a record snowstorm. Here, look at the front and back of that.
Have these.
I know, but that's the
new
one.
Oh, nice.
Stop Wars, that's Home Educate. Awesome. This is a whole new campaign.
And it was in Ireland. I saw a picture of this and painted on the wall
it's
in
all
Ireland.
Over the world.
It's awesome.
Now, what we did out there, I've already done over 200 signs. We're silk screening out here. They're being put up all weekend for this. This is around the country, Philadelphia, New York, Maine, Pittsburgh. Yeah,
that's
I got
amazing.
You know, several. I got you're taking home some signs.
All right.
Get over it, you know, and some zip ties.
I'll put them up at the Republican conventions.
Oh,
there we go.
This is, see, once it starts, and this is one thing, this is where the campaign, where I always wanted this to go. I always wanted this whole thing to be about Generation Next. It was always Generation Next. And the only way we're going to stop these wars is if we know why they keep going. You know, home educate. Get them out of the mandatory youth indoctrination of we got to have another war. You know? And I'm just, so this is, you know, I might be talking to you about helping me with that. This is, I'm going. Here we freaking go. They have no idea. They didn't understand what was, the Lovolution was behind that. You're in the middle of this whole thing. You could see what was really going on. And so Jeff and I, a lot of people, this is the first time that you and I really have talked, you know, on the air. We've done a couple of shows before, but about the campaign. It's past time enough that we're kind of, all right, let me tell you what really happened. If we would have been anything to do with the campaign, the Lovolution would never have happened. And I am just, you know, I was so certain of that from the very beginning. I'm like, nah. You do not want me to be in this. That's where I introduced them to you.
And you know, I hate to say it. I have to keep myself from, but it's going to come out. Ernie, you were right. You were right.
There was no doubt in my mind.
You were right.
So I go like this to the campaign. They wanted me, Lou Moore and Kent Snyder came here, and I had a kind of a primer. You know, I did a, you know, because I did my lawsuit, election law, and all that kind of thing. I knew the election law. I go, let me tell you where they're going to screw you. They're going to screw you here. Oh, Ernie, we need you. I go, oh, hell no, I ain't doing it. Because I know, one, you're going to want me to go Republican and, like, advocate voting or something. Hey, neither one of those are going to happen, you know. But we'll go out here and do the Lovolution thing. I know who you need. You need Jeff and Andre, you know. So I go, Jeff and Andre, you know, especially Jeff, take lead on this thing. If you don't have Jeff, you're going to miss a big, giant opportunity. Oh, well, who's Jeff? What about Jeff? Who gives a crap about Jeff? They met with you. I get a phone call from Lou Moore, the campaign manager, after you guys had met, you know, weeks later. Now, you got anybody else? We just can't afford them. And I go, can't afford? You can't afford not to have them. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. You're going to get your, oh, well, backhand y'all. And then finally they, you know, met your demands or something. And you start, and you were one of the most effective guys nationally for these people for running a real campaign. But then you started to realize what was going on. Come on, Jeff, share what was going on.
It was good how many people Dr. Paul reached, and I'm glad he did it, and I'm glad he's still going. But, you know, if I think the illustration that I was talking about before the break about how these committees and corporations run, right, and what they're really doing with them, will explain it. I mean, I don't know why we have to focus, say, on Dr. Paul or whatever. All the candidates do it, right? They're running corporations and they're making money. And then they pay themselves directorships and their family directorships.
No, I remember when he pulled out, it was the day before he pulled out. It was a Thursday in May in Texas. And the Wednesday before, I remember you calling, you said, you got to call Ron and, you know, try and talk some, you know, let him know what. So I call him. He answers the phone. Ernie, what's up? And I go, I know you're going to go on a conference call with all your state coordinating, whatever the guys, and kind of tell them what's up. And I go, I just want, you know, loyal opposition here, man. I mean, you know, if you do this, you're not going to have the same kind of backing in the future that you would if you just kept your word and go through the convention.
And I had the same conversation with him, and I'll tell you exactly what he told me. So I was always very respectful, right?
As was I.
Yep. But I asked several times the same thing. I said, you have very loyal people who have slogged their way all the way through all of the convention,
I mean,
and everything.
Given up their entire life, yep, for a year and a half.
The money, the effort, going into conventions. They're literally going into the conventions to win, no less. They were going to win. And all they needed, he didn't have to even say he was in it or not in it.
If just not out.
Just not say anything. Right, just say nothing and everything would be fine. And he yelled at me.
He did.
He said, I love the man. I truly do. And you know, but he thought it was best. And he said to me that that he was told by his consultants that they'd be more successful launching Campaign for Liberty sooner. And so what am I supposed to say about that? When he yelled,
was it a specific point or an issue that he...
Well,
really,
I mean, he would...
Shut up!
It was because I, again, very respectfully, but I repeated myself a third time. He told me after the second time, and the third time, he said, that's enough. You know, I'm not doing it.
I'm wondering how much...
I kind of got the same pushback.
I'm wondering how much was... I'm just thinking, I mean, I wasn't there with it, but how much was it he was frustrated with you asking a third time on top of the fact that you were on top of Ernie and everyone else saying the same thing?
I'm sure.
It was probably a combination.
It could be that.
I'm curious that pressure.
Oh, no, no, no.
I don't think worse of him is...
Let me give you behind the scenes some of the stuff that happened. In April, third week in April of 08, when they brought me and Michael and Lyman, all these guys, to Washington, and they're going to go explain it to us. They wanted us on their side. They didn't say they were going to pull. They didn't say that. They were talking about it and what can we do. And Michael and Trevor, they're just, oh, we'll run as an independent, run as a libertarian, run it. Well, they didn't understand the law. I mean, it was already too late to do a lot of that stuff. And I'm going, you know, unless he went LP, it just wasn't good. He just had to stay in. He just keep his promise. Yeah. I mean, because he looked at people that had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars outside his campaign and looked at him. As long as you guys keep supporting me, I'll keep going. And then they did and he didn't. I go, it's no more complicated than that. So don't think you're going to get the same kind of thing going in the 12. And sure as heck, your son.
But even though in 12, the same thing. We had six delegations, I think maybe possibly even seven, on the floor, filed the right papers with the majority of the delegates from six delegations. Six. But he had issued the statement just weeks prior that he was suspending his campaign.
And then his son endorsed Romney. This whole thing.
So
I'm going, what the heck are you guys thinking?
All they had to say was nothing. That's it. They didn't have to go one way or the other.
I found out what the deal was, and you can confirm this if the way it goes. It was, they had, up to that time, it was a money thing. They thought that they were kind of peaked, and they had $6 million in the bank. If they suspend the campaign, it got to go to this PAC. and they could start whatever they wanted with it, and they thought $6 million.
I don't know the numbers, but I think less money came in after than before. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know the
numbers.
Then
they had the Restore the Republic Convention in Minneapolis-St. Paul. You were there when they started Campaign for Liberty. This is where I want to get to. I want to talk about the beginnings of it.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Yeah, my gosh, it's down in the 60s or something.
Let it snow, we're all gonna die.
I don't know. How hot is it out there? Was it pretty cold or what?
It's actually quite warm. Warmer than last year.
I know. Well, it sucks to be you.
The heater on my motorcycle didn't work too well this morning. So.
I know, and he doesn't wear any ear covering. Now, what the heck is up with that? You like this red nose ear tip thing going on or something?
It's Phoenix. We're not in Oslo.
I don't know, man. Any breeze and it's
good
cold
for
my
your,
ears.
It's good for your immune system.
That means you're getting old.
Damn Skippy. You know, I'm just, no, hell no. I'm Arizona. Well, Donna's from Pennsylvania, where you guys spend a lot of time. Yeah. And she's like, no more snow. We're done. We went up to Prescott last night. There was like kind of a snow dusting on the mountains, you know, kind of on the north side of the cutout for the highway kind of deal. You know, and I go, look, snow. It's a semi-white Christmas. All right. Now, the one thing that we want to get back into the Campaign for Liberty, you got to be careful and be respectful. And, you know, we're all very appreciative of Dr. Paul. But you got to keep in mind, he's a politician, or was, you know. I think he's getting freed up a lot more. Because when you do have private conversations with him, he's, you know, he's leaving the dance with who brung him. You know, that was, you start being, you go, hey, man, I've talked to him. He's, you know, I bet you of the three times he spoke at the Freedom Summit, of the entire campaign, our paths crossing as much as it did, having him on the show a couple of times, I'll bet we spent no more than less than an hour in conversation over the decade or more that I've known him. So don't think that he and I, you know, that's why I like to support him and his process, because I don't have to babysit. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to. The words out of his mouth, the vote that he's done, that is, you know, the rest is politics. I mean, he told me that. Mm-hmm. He goes, you can count on the words out of my mouth, my vote, the rest is politics. And I'm going, okay. So I saw it that way. Now, the thing is the Campaign for Liberty, I want to get this out of the way. When we went to Minneapolis-St. Paul, I remember in the hotel room, now this is after, right after Adam Kokesh had given his big revolution speech, and we had the big revolution march in Washington, D.C., Gary Franchi and I emceed that. It was an all-day thing. It built up to Ron speaking. Well, that was a hoot, man. It was hot, but I mean, it was rock and roll and whatnot. After that, now I'm going around calling Kokesh Congressman Kokesh, because I knew they were going to tap him, or he was going to want to be tapped or whatever. I go, you don't have a good speech like that, a young guy and a Marine and everything go to waste. They're going to, you know, do whatever. So when the Minneapolis-St. Paul Restore the Republic big convention, the RNC had their convention, and at mirrored it, you know, across the, you know, town, they had, you know, let them have their freaking tank-armed, you know, hut-hut neo-Nazi, you know, stormtroopers out front guys. Didn't care. Nobody went, I didn't care. But over at the Target, you know, whatever the heck it was, big giant stadium there was probably 60,000, 70,000 people there. I mean, it was filled. It was filled.
And we're talking about the alternate Ron Paul convention. Paul held his own convention, same town, same day, cross town, and we had more people than the Republican convention.
This was huge. Now, at the time, you know, the campaign, when it released, I saw Lou Moore there. Say, hey, Lou, what's up? He had went to work for the Republican, for McCain. By that time, he was already on the McCain, but which meant database, probably. You know, something. There's always, it's database. Everything's database.
It was a senatorial something committee, and
blah blah blah. So I'm just like, you know, yeah, well, you know, everybody's, you know, scrambling for where they're going to land. Well, we go to that, and Kokesh was there, and I put Kokesh and Jeff in the hotel room, and I go, "You guys work it out, peace," and I left because I don't care. Because the next day, they were going to be announcing to all the rank and file that they had this Campaign for Liberty thing, and all you guys have been doing what you want, and all this, and money you did, and raised, and kind of kicking ass, and everything on your own, and your own money, and everything. Well, now we don't want you to do that anymore. You need to give us $35, and here's the bylaws, and you do what the hell we tell you. And I go, that ain't going to work. And I told him in April, I go, look, I'm telling you, you don't understand these people. This is not how they roll. So I go, whatever, you're going to find out. So they go into it, and it went into revolt. Tell it, I wasn't in there. Tell me what happened.
Well, I didn't see it exact at the time. I didn't see it exactly like you saw it, right? I really believe that it was an opportunity to keep the revolution moving forward. But there's just something about corporate structures, putting corporate structures around popular movements, that has a cooling effect. And there were a lot of, some of those guys who you say were an open revolt. I don't know what they really all do anyway, except blog and complain, you know. Not all of them. There's a lot of good people too, but a lot of them are just really kind of complainers. So, but the point is one way or the other, whether I'm right or wrong, it that kind of corporate mentality, that corporate structure just had a cooling effect.
Sucked and
it didn't,
all the wind out.
Yeah, it didn't do what I was hoping it would do. It didn't do what I really believed it could have happened. You know, I don't know what to say. I know your opinion on it, right?
Yeah, my thing is exactly what was going on. I tell you what. The only thing that I told the campaign is I go, and you were part of this in the early day when we were doing this, as I go, I only need you to do two things. Okay, I don't need anything. Two things. One, when I go to a town and I go into the state coordinator of the office, if they got a bunch of signs, if we want to do that, if we want to help, if we want, I go in, they just give us a sign, we'll go put them up. And amongst all the other crap that we're doing, I go, they just say, here's the signs, and they just shut up. Because they would always go like this. They go, you can't put these up, and your signs can't go up, and it has to be, and you can't. And we got this memo from the city of saying what we kind of go, yeah, if I see anybody putting up signs, I'll shoot them for you. I'm going, seriously? I go, just tell them just to shut up. Just leave us alone, and we'll go do our thing. That's all I want. Thing two, when we have all these young kids, there would be kids, literally teenagers in early 20s, that we'd spend days making hundreds of signs. Who has a driveway? We just do it. Hundreds of signs, put them up. When you have your event, that usually I get there like a Wednesday, it'd be Saturday. All I want is these dozen kids, two dozen kids, that spent all this time, and they're not from their keyboard, they're out doing stuff. They don't have to stand in line with 2,000 people to shake his hand. Yeah, we're behind this. You just come back, let them take their pictures, do your 3.2 minutes of, peace out and great and wonderful, and they get, and then you go to the crowd. That's all I want. And that's all they did. Nothing else. I didn't want anything from him other than him just to show appreciation to people that did all those signs. And if we needed anything from the, go put up signs, they just shut up and left us alone. But they just couldn't. Well, Ernie, come in the office. This happened over and over. Come in. I just want you to see this note from the city of like, I care. I'm going, whatever. So I could see that anybody else, like someone that wasn't as experienced or as aged, as I was in my, 40s or whatever. And I go, if it was some young guy, they'd feel like the official blanket, the cooling effect that you're talking about. I got that from you. You go, who are the coolers? You go, that guy's a cooler. Intentional or unintentional, it's like a position. Mm-hmm. People come in and they just, it's always you go to a meetup of 100 people. So one person say, well, if you don't have a permit to put those signs up, won't you get the death penalty or something? Cooler. And I'm going, nope. We had to ban Property 6. There's a band that was big Ron Paul supporters. I asked them to go up with us. They were doing a gig in Vegas. They went to the sign-making party, and each one of the band members went with a group to put up the signs because they were going out and coming back. We couldn't find a place to put them up. They were scared. I go, are you kidding me? Just go with them. And they got the rainbow mohawk. And they're like, woohoo, we're putting up signs. Once it started, it went crazy. L.A., same time. Remember, you go, you got to go to Southern California.
It's unbelievable.
They got all this chain link. Yeah. Their entire freeway system is a freaking parking lot.
Yeah.
With all this chain link, I go, what are you guys, stupid? So we go to the Jay Leno thing, and I'm passing out stencils. We didn't even give them the
Didn't
sign.
Everybody have a shirt that night on Jay Leno? Everybody had the shirt on. It was unbelievable.
No, we had to take them off.
Oh, is that right?
They go like, oh, too many yellow
shirts.
But
the amount of media you're able to generate is unbelievable.
Okay, now that was my perspective on this, and you get kind of the inside stuff. Jeff can give it from the campaign side. Because inside the conventions and the people that were actually playing the politics and going to the convention, becoming delegates, going to the precinct committee, going to all the 15 gazillion meetings at the local, the county, the state, he'll tell you what happened.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. Yeah, same song. I liked it. You know, this one reminded me of the winter of 07-08. And it was record snowfall. And that was when, you know, Sarver, remember the kid from ASU? He went out with him and he goes, I claim the snow mountain in the name of the Ron Paul, whatever, you know, and then made it into a documentary and we had a lot of fun. There was so much inspiration. I could see what was happening to an entire generation. Now, I saw it on the outside, you know, totally different. Now, Jeff and I, we talked a lot. We knew what was going on, and I, you know, Lou Moore, the campaign manager, we got along fine. We didn't coordinate really anything. The only, because that would have been illegal, like I cared, you know, but my whole thing was, is that I didn't coordinate. All I wanted from him was I go, we're going to be here. We're going to be doing this. Keep these guys away from me. and we just wanted to be able to get pictures. That was it. So from the inside, you know, it was totally different for Jeff. You're in the delegate thing, man. You're in the conventions. You're doing Robert's Rules of Can I Finish and Point of Order crap, you know? So, you know, give us some flavor on the inside.
So first I want to say that it took a minute for Ernie to hammer into my brain, because I have kind of a thick skull, too. It took a minute for him to hammer it in exactly what it
just
was doing.
A minute.
But but I got it. And I have to tell you, it's brilliant if you understand it. And it can't be coordinated, right? But
impossible. But
if you once you get the concept of allowing people to do what they want to do, right, it falls into place how it can work, right? And so I finally got it, and it's just brilliant.
A resource instead of directing them to do something they don't want to do when they're volunteers. You let them do whatever they want to do, and you help them. And that is not a campaign. They don't do that.
So from you want to talk to the inside. So let me give you just 30 nutshell background. Is I came up through precinct committee. Man, I think at the time it was Utah in the 90s, late 90s. And I, you know, I was a precinct committee man. Then I was on the county committee. I was on the state committee. Then I was on the state central committee before I came to Arizona. And so that, you know, their convention process is a lot more contentious than ours, and it's fun. I think it's fun. The contention is fun in the convention. And so I love seeing that. It's kind of the marketplace of ideas and brokering and blah, blah, blah,
Jeff's
and delegates.
Gorilla.
And I love party politics. I hate electoral politics, but I love party politics. Anyway, I was hoping to take that experience and replicate it 100,000 times. That was my personal goal, is to get people educated on the process of how to do the party politics. to, I was hoping one day to take it over, right? Replicate those people and get them successful and get them to understand how it works 100,000 times all the way around the country. So that's why I really loved working on the campaign, because it was an opportunity to train people on just basic, you know, how to win friends and influence people, how to build personal relationships, how to not get to know your neighbors, right? Knock on doors, how to do vote harvesting through canvassing and signatures and, you know, sales. You get, you know, 100 cold calls, you get 3% back. Same, it's the same, all the same stuff, but train people how to do that sales concept in politics, bring in that 3%, because it's the 3% that moves the needle on who wins in an election or a convention, whatever you want. And so I wanted to get the people trained on that, and that's why I really, you know, I think I was contributed to my success, because it was a genuine effort. It was a selfless effort on my behalf, right? Because I just wanted to get people successful, learn how to do this, and there's some just basic skills that aren't even political, right? They're just life skills, and then translate them to politics, and then I'm also kind of have an engineer. So it's a system. So then train people on the system of how it works, and then channel that into the system and get the result you want, right? Input output. So we were very successful in the Southwest doing that in conventions in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, California, filing the delegates, Arizona, New Mexico. I mean, we were really successful in all that. So Ernie, I mean, what is it that you want from the inside? Here's what I would say is the reason I was so disappointed when Dr. Paul made the announcement that he was suspending the campaign, it was late April, early May, whenever it was, is as much as I wanted to see him win, I wanted to see these 100,000 people in the Southwest win. I wanted them to experience going all the way
to the freaking convention.
That was the promise.
Right. Convention, going to the convention.
Not even the national, but through their state convention cycle all the way to the end.
He stopped it in the middle. Before the beginning of Texas convention.
Right. And so
are you kidding me?
A dozen conventions throughout the West where when our delegates then went, all the leadership and all the RNC lawyers and leadership of the state party, they all knew that Ron was done. And so they could abuse the crap out of our delegates, and there was nothing our delegates could do because there's no one supporting them, because there's no campaign, essentially. So why even give them any respect or 2 seconds on the mic?
They took the campaign money, rolled it into whatever the heck they, you know, Campaign for Liberty. And thought that that was going to be the launch of, I don't know, make money, something. I think
from, you know, from my discussion with Dr. Paul, he had a sincere belief that, you know, for better or worse, that was the right thing to do. I personally disagreed, which is why I think he told me to let it go.
What he told me, he said, Ernie, if we're not going to be able to win, it's been clear to me that they're going to make sure that it just makes us look crazy. He goes, we just look foolish.
But it wasn't about, that's where I had the beef. It wasn't about them. And I know, with respect to the activists like you, it wasn't about, for me, it wasn't about those activists at that point. At that point in April, it wasn't about those activists. It was about the people who had spent their time and their money going all the way through the process, getting all the abuse from the party.
And they were being successful.
But here's the thing. They were successful. We were taking conventions. It was working. Well,
you guys were activists in your own way.
It was working.
You were activists as well. There was a whole bunch of people
overlap.
Here.
Absolutely. Yeah, huge overlap. But my primary concern, having been in the campaign, was for those people going through that particular process.
Most of the real activists were precinct committeemen for Ron Paul and making signs.
Right.
And, you know, so there was a whole lot of overlap.
Well, I'm saying that Jeff wasn't seeing the activists from the outside. You were seeing the activism
from within.
That's another form of activism, is taking it to the convention as well.
It's a different form. That's right.
Jeff will tell you, I never discouraged him from going inside the party.
No, you didn't. I'm like, go.
You need to go because you need to know how jacked up this thing is.
And if nothing else to learn.
I knew they would. I went through it. The learning process. Because I was a young guy and I go, oh, it's different this time. It's different because it's different. And I'm going, yeah, it ain't different, okay? So you guys need to go find out how different it ain't, all right? Ain't.
But I saw it at that point as an opportunity for them to get jazzed up to the next, you know, when an electron jumps to the next level in the cell from higher energy being added, right? Mm-hmm. Becomes an ion. There is an opportunity to jazz up 100,000 people in the West to that next level of energy permanently for their lives, like I had been 10 years prior, right? And cutting their legs out from under them, that's why I was personally disappointed, cutting their legs out from under them right the night, practically the night before they were at the point of jumping to that next level of energy.
This is the one question.
Is where I was disappointed.
And 12, before we hit the end here, and then we got to get in the Trump report. And then we'll go long. We'll go until we're done. The one thing that I really wanted to get from you is that there was a big wave of new people that came in 12. They go, oh, we missed the 08 part. We want to be, we're here now. And we're going, you missed that one. That's a different thing this
time. A lot
time.
Were genuine, though. They weren't, a lot of kids, a lot of new people.
Genuine. They went in, but they were looking for a redo of what happened. It just wasn't that way.
It wasn't quite that way, but they were still successful. Don't get that wrong.
Yeah, Matt Papke and John Laurie, these guys, they go to Tampa. They go, Ernie, it's going to be different this time. They can't screw us on international TV. And I go, that's when they do it, man, just to let you know.
But the campaign was successful, too. So you need to give props are due. The campaign was successful. The activists were successful. It did not have the same grassroots feeling. I agree. But the success was still there, but then the same thing happened again.
Late April, early May. It's Romney and Paul.
But this time,
and his son endorses Romney.
We had the requisite six delegations with the majority of delegates on the floor. Sorry, I'm banging on the thing. Mm-hmm. On the floor of the national convention, they could have actually gotten his name entered, but there was no campaign. It was suspended, so they just ignored. There's even video. I got to get you the videos of that. The guy who actually gave the report in the convention floor to enter his name has been on your radio show before. I'll show you the video.
Yeah, and eyes have it.
Yeah, but Boehner.
But they made a nice video of Ron Paul to show. Remember that? That was a little video with the trees.
All they had to say was nothing. That's all I had to say. Let the activists do their thing and just sit back and do nothing.
Well, I'm wondering what the benefit has been. You know, I get the impression that Ron... See, I haven't had him on the show.
It must have been for Rand.
Until after it was all done that I had Ron on. I didn't even have him on the show. Until he's doing Ron Paul Institute for Peace Prosperity, kind of just
it's
him.
It's smaller, though.
So what? He's just separate from them. He gets to say whatever he wants. That's the only time you get any kind of real Ron Paul, and I'm free of them, and I have given my only begotten... Well, maybe not his only... But I give you my son, sacrifice him on the cross of Pollock. Go over there and you can deal with him.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015. Silver is trading at $14.34 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,080 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $440. Antiwar.com reports coalition airstrikes against the major the Islamic State held Iraqi city of Mosul leveled homes in a residential neighborhood on Monday, killing at least 20 people, including at least 12 civilians. The claim was that the homes were used by the Islamic State. Witnesses said one of the houses belonged to the son of a local the Islamic State commander. Several other houses in the area were badly damaged by the attacks, and officials have conspicuously not commented on the incident so far. U.S. officials have generally not admitted to large civilian death tolls during airstrikes against the Islamic State territory, insisting the reports of eyewitnesses in those areas are not credible and refusing to investigate the claims more thoroughly. Mosul is the largest city of the Islamic State and has been held by the Islamic State since the summer of 2014. Though U.S. and Iraqi officials have talked up the eventual counterattack, there is no timetable for trying to reclaim the city, which is still deeply entrenched in the Islamic State's territory. The Daily Decrypt is a Monday through Friday newscast about all the best news in cryptocurrencies and peer-to-peer networks. Know what's hot in the world of digital money, borderless trade, and cutting-edge communications. Available on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Facebook Video. The Daily Decrypt is the news of the future. UPI reports the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Monday overturned a rule banning gay men from donating blood, but will still impose some restrictions. The FDA's lifetime ban on blood donations from gay and bisexual men that's been in effect for 32 years has been lifted, but a new policy will ban men from donating blood if they've had sex with another man in the previous year. The lifetime ban was put in place amid the AIDS crisis. The FDA said in a statement the decision was made to reflect the most current scientific evidence and to help ensure continued safety of the blood supply by reducing the risk of human immunodeficiency virus transmitted by blood and blood products. The FDA said it will continue to reevaluate blood donor deferral policies whenever new scientific information becomes available. Critics of the new policy have said that gay men are still effectively banned from donating blood because they must be abstaining from sex, but the agency said it does not have research to loosen the regulation any further than the 12-month ban. Among other groups subject to the same 12-month ban in order to reduce the risk of HIV and AIDS transmission includes heterosexuals who have used intravenous drugs or had sex with prostitutes in the previous 12 months.
For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co.
Reuters reports a Baltimore police officer will face retrial on manslaughter charges over the death of Freddie Gray starting on June 13th, according to a Maryland judge on Monday after the officer's first trial ended in a deadlocked jury. The Maryland State Court's office said in a statement that Judge Barry Williams set the trial date after meeting prosecutors and defense lawyers. Gray's death in April caused protests in the city and intensified U.S. debate on police treatment of minorities. The date for the retrial of Officer William Porter in Baltimore City Circuit Court could snarl prosecutor strategy to use him as a key witness against other officers in the high-profile trial. Porter was the first of six officers to be tried in connection with Gray's death from a broken neck sustained while in police custody. A jury was unable to reach a decision last week, and Williams declared a mistrial. Porter faces charges of involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office. The trial of the van driver, Officer Caesar Goodson, who faces the most serious charge of second-degree depraved heart murder, is set to begin on January 6th. Prosecutors had hoped to convict Porter and use him as a witness against Goodson and Sergeant Alicia White. Porter testified he passed Gray's request for medical help to them, but none was summoned. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.